In the name of the one true living God, our Creator, Provider, and Savior, the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, King David and his son Solomon's great kingdom weakened and divided after them and eventually ceased to exist. Both parts were overrun by the Babylonians, the 10 seceding tribes populating the northern kingdom were known as Israel. They mixed with other people groups who settled there. The southern kingdom, known as Judah, lasted a bit longer until it too was defeated. Under God's judgment, its citizens were taken to Babylon for a 70-year exile. As prophesied, the 70 years ended in the year 538 before Christ, when the remnant of Judah in exile were encouraged by the Persian authorities to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the destroyed temple. The Persians even provided transportation, financing, and much of the construction material. The prophet Haggai was one of the key spiritual leaders who accompanied the returning exiles to Jerusalem to begin the reconstruction of the temple. The first chapter of Haggai informs us that the Israelite returnees quickly got distracted by their own affairs and lost their zeal and interest in the temple. The older returnees remembered the grandness of Solomon's temple before its destruction. As they shared these memories, it became clear to all that the new structure was much humbler and more inferior. This discouraged everyone and caused them to lose interest in the project. Brothers and sisters, Haggai, like his colleague, the prophet Zechariah, was very keen on the completion of the temple. Haggai was called to rebuke the people for their lack of commitment to its construction. Fearing renewed divine judgment, they quickly resumed the work. God's servant Haggai was then given very special words of encouragement to them and to their leaders, both civil and religious. Let us hear the first 9 verses of the second chapter of Haggai's prophetic book. In the 7th month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Brothers and sisters, Haggai reminded the people of the unchangeable nature of the Lord's presence with them, as he was with their forefathers when he delivered them from Egypt and blessed them, his spirit remains with them. It was obvious that they should have acknowledged that it was the Lord who caused the Persian authorities to encourage them to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Yet, the prophet goes on to speak of something immeasurably greater. He tells of an event to involve the shaking of not only nations, but also of all the visible and invisible creation. The shaking of nations refers to the directing of the history of the nations. The shaking of heaven, earth, sea, and the dry land is extraordinarily divine. The prophecy says, "Yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." Let us notice that the predicted significant event was to take place once more in a little while. The event would take place through a divine intervention and would not be repeatable. Furthermore, it was to bring that which is treasured and desired by all nations. Still, more significantly, it relates to the temple itself. The message asserts that through even the new, less impressive temple, the Lord would fill this, His house, with glory. Although the Lord could have provided all the costless material resources to build the temple, He did not, nor did He promise to update or alter it. Yet, the prophecy goes on to say, "The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts." Brothers and sisters, what we read is remarkable. The blessings brought in by the promised event of shaking all history and all creation do not need more precious building materials nor a more glamorous temple. The glory promised to come to this simple temple that the people seemed to despise would be greater than all the glory of Solomon's imposing temple. Let us specially note that the prophecy announced, "And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts." And peace is exactly what all nations and all peoples long for. Brothers and sisters, the message emphasized a miraculous event. It relates to the treasured one who fulfilled the real meaning of the temple, God's presence with His people in His majesty, glory, goodness, and grace. Emmanuel, God with us. He came to the world miraculously, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the very Spirit of God, the blessed third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. This one is the new Adam, the Prince of Peace. His mission accomplished not only the bringing of peace between heaven and earth, but also established a new humanity, a new kingdom from all nations, unlike the shaking and perishable nation established by Moses, and the kingdom of King David. Jesus' kingdom is unshakable. The 12th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews addressed descendants of that Israelite remnant, explaining Haggai's prophecy, saying, "This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." Yes, Jesus' kingdom is sovereignly served by all things in heaven and earth and by all events in history. All authority is given to Him in heaven and earth to build those who cling to Him into a new kingdom of all nations. This is exactly what God called Abraham for, the blessing of all families of the earth through His offspring, Jesus, the Messiah. Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations, at all times, throughout the whole earth by the blessed message of the gospel. Amen.